Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Ciarán O'Connor from 98FM is with me for a look back on, all of the big things that happened in pop culture history.
My favourite time of the week.
I know, yeah, I know. It's a real trip down memory lane. Sometimes it scares the absolute life out of me, though, when I realise how long ago it is. The things, you know, that you have a vivid memory of.
Yeah, that's only 2 years ago.
That's 25 years ago. Like what? Anyway, you're talking about something that we still hear an awful lot about, but I don't certainly remember in living memory.
Yeah, let's go back 79 years. The 6th of August, 1945. It was the two massive bombs dropped over in Japan. The final years of World War II and the invasion of Japan. That was the plan with the Pacific War. The 6th and the 9th of August, 1945. Two atomic bombs dropped over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They estimate up to 250,000 people died. Two of the biggest, well, the only atomic bombs to drop in the world. Some scary things happening 79 years ago.
1945. The other, I suppose, interesting one too, definitely more recent history for a lot of our listeners, the Twin Towers.
Yeah, an interesting one. We're going back 50 years, the 7th of August, 1974. A lot of people may know this from the documentary, which is well-known, Man on Wire. This guy, his name is Philippe Petit. He was a high wire artist who started off climbing between the towers in Notre Dame Cathedral, then climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge, all on a high wire tightrope. But this week in history, 50 years ago, he climbed between the World Trade Centres, 1,350 feet off the ground via tightrope. At this stage, the World Trade Center wasn't opened. It was still under construction. Some people called it the artistic crime of the century because he spent 6 years planning this. So much so, he made fake IDs. He was watching what the workers were wearing. He watched what type of equipment they were going in on so he could get up to the top, up to the roof. And he managed to climb between both towers on a tightrope. A lot of people, as I said, may know the documentary, Man on Wire.
It's absolutely just the most terrifying thing in the world, I would imagine, to
I couldn't
to do
it.
That,
but know, he was absolutely up there for 45 minutes dancing.
That's how long it took him to...
He walked across several times.
Multiple times, didn't he?
Yeah, he was hanging off the wire. He was dancing on the wire, lying on the wire. Man on Wire is a documentary. If you have time, Oscar-winning documentary, Sundance Film Festival documentary. Very interesting.
Why did you do this?
That's the thousand why in this morning. There is no why. Just because when I see a beautiful place to put my why, I cannot resist.
That was straight after he was arrested by the police in America. He was interviewed by CBS 50 years ago, and that's what he had to say. All charges were dropped, though, because the judge said, look, if you go and perform for the kids in Central Park in New York and do some circus acts, we'll let you off. And that's what happened.
So sort of like community service.
Yeah, more or less.
It was a 450-pound cable, is that right?
Yeah,
that
so was used the interesting thing, how do you get it across? That's what I was thinking. So he used a bow and arrow and obviously had lighter wire attached to the bow and arrow. It flew across and they pulled the lighter wire until they got the heavier wire. And a massive cable is what draped across the skyline of New York City.
Yeah, 45 minutes that he made four trips along the wire. That is pretty incredible. Right, so that is 1974. This is definitely an old school one.
Story of the little lad just like you. Was naughty, was bad, just like you.
Going back 94 years, the 9th of August 1930, when that character there, Betty Boop, was born.
I loved Betty Boop.
Betty Boop wasn't so much for me. However, the interesting thing, Betty Boop started off as a humanised French poodle. In Talker Toon. That was the original cartoon.
Right.
And then as things went on, she quickly transformed into a human as opposed to a canine and a character that's well known all around the world.
She was sort of the, like a little bit of a Minnie Mouse type non-cartoon character. yeah, in many ways.
That's kind of what it was. Started off innocent, then kind of turned risque to a degree, this cartoon character did. It was in 1935, though, the Motion Pictures Production Code, the Hays Code, came in, and Betty Boop had to kind of wear more clothes on screen. That's what kind of transformed Betty Boop's act again.
Yeah, she was a little bit of a sex symbol.
Yeah, she was, absolutely. Yeah. Up until the 1935, and then she kind of had to change into more of a mother figure, is what she was portrayed as.
She wasn't, like, it wasn't a feature, I don't think, for much of our childhoods anyway. Like, I know Minnie, you know, you've Minnie Mouse, I suppose, was big time through the Walt Disney series and movies, but there was never really much around Betty Boop.
No, not so much. Massive in America. So much so, there's video games. Betty Boop starred on musical stages and in films as well. So, I mean, over in the States, it was quite a big character.
She's a big deal.
Yeah.
Sudoku.
Yeah, let's go back 3 years to when the godfather of Sudoku died, the 10th of August, 2021. Maki Kaji, he is the man who first published the Sudoku, created the game many years ago, back in 1983. However, it was only the early noughties the Sudoku kind of came to this side of the world. I wouldn't be a fan, but I would give it a go before a crossword. It's easier than a crossword, I find, anyway.
Yeah, I'd probably stab and attempt at a crossword quicker than I'm not going to say I've never done it, I have, but I'm not a huge fan at all. My friends that love it, though.
It's a fairly easy concept, and that's what Sudoku translates to. Number should be single, and that's what you have to do in every row, up and down. It was the Times over in the UK that was one of the first newspapers to actually publish the Sudoku, and now it's something we see every single day.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably do it on a daily basis. If you're a Sudoku fan, do let us know. This was a number one on the 8th of August in Ireland, isn't that right?
Yes.
You're beautiful.
Yeah, so today, the 8th of August, this was a number one here in Ireland. But I like this game, Andrea. How many years ago?
I have to guess when. It's much more, it's recent-ish. I don't know, maybe 2003 or 4?
You're not far off. 2005.
Ah,
19
okay.
years ago, this was number one from his debut album, Back to Bedlam. A kind of miserable song, so he puts it himself.
Never a fan.
No, lots of people weren't. The song he wrote while he was on the underground in London, and he saw his ex-girlfriend with a new man, and he said they caught a moment and it felt like a lifetime, and he kind of himself, he calls it a miserable song. If you're interested in seeing him, he's actually playing in Dublin in Collins Barracks 24th of August, and Limerick Docklands on the 25th of August,
there
so he's
go.
Still touring.
There you go. So that was the 8th of August. Also on this day, this too was a number one. I don't wanna rock, DJ, but you're making me feel so nice. I love Robbie Williams.
Yeah. A UK number one on the 8th of August.
Oh, sorry, it was UK number one, right.
But how many years ago?
It's got to be after Millennium anyway, so it's maybe 2003 or 4?
It was 2000, 24 years ago.
What?
Yeah, on his third studio album, Sing When You're Winning. I still have that CD. I still remember it. It was just Robbie Williams all over the little insert. It was him as a full soccer team.
So he brought that and Millennium out?
Yeah.
In the 1 year? I just didn't realise that. Or maybe Millennium was out
Sing
prior
When You're
to.
Winning was the album that year, right? I'll do my research.
Okay. So that was the number one in the UK. Robbie Williams is the first concert I ever went to in my life.
Wow, where?
Yeah, it was at... in my mind, I'm going to... It couldn't have been Crow Park, though. It couldn't have been. Like, sure, that was back in... That was 97 or 98. It couldn't have been Crow Park.
It's been the Point.
Maybe it was the Point. I remember it was such a big deal. Imagine, like, travelling up from Donegal. My friend's mum brought us up.
Left us off,
went into the gig. So it can't have been Crow Park. Maybe one of our listeners will remember that. And I saw him recently at the Three Arena, maybe about 2 years ago. And he is such a performer. Yeah, he's absolutely fantastic. This was number one, though, in the US. If you see him bangs running through your head, who can you call? I haven't a clue. Like, it has to be 70s.
Ray Parker Jr., Ghostbusters in the US. This was number one this day in 1984, 40 years ago. Yeah, there you go. Ray Parker Jr. created that for the Ghostbusters movie. He was asked by the producers to create it. He only had a few days to do it.
That's like 40 years.
Like, it's a classic song for one of the biggest
so recognisable. Listener says, Sing When You're Winning, the release date was the 28th of August 2000.
28th of August 2000.
Yeah, well, that's the album release date,
yes,
should say, rather than the song.
The number one.
Kieran O'Connor, as always, thanks a million for bringing us on a little trip down memory lane.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next Thursday afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.